Drunk on Comics, episode 110. Tony here in the studio, joined by Derek and Matt, to bring you another great podcast about the things you love, comic books. We got some reviews, some news, and a little bit more to get you through your week. Today we discuss The Squitter, Burn the Orphanage, The Deviler, Dark Engine, and Life with Archie. We also had a chance to talk about the big shakeup within Marvel and what they're doing with Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man, along with some comics getting the big screen and small screen treatment. We also discovered an awesome website called lootcrate.com where you can sign up and get stuff sent to you that's nerdy and geeky and everything in between, so definitely check them out. So sit back, grab a beer, and enjoy episode 110 of Drunk on Comics.
Basically, an all-you-can-drink craft beer festival.
Yeah, they gave us tickets, but none of them took the tickets.
Actually, I only had one or two that didn't take the tickets.
Okay, well, I had some that didn't, but either or, you still pretty much you paid the entry price. And
because they, Matt, I'm not kidding, they give you so many tickets, you can't go through all of them.
They just get samples, or...?
Yeah, okay. But, okay, now, the
samples were pretty fucking big.
It's like 6-ounce samples.
That's a good sample.
Yeah, and, you know, you're just walking around. They give you 15 tickets.
The worst thing that I did was when I was going to the bathroom and I see someone come on out and I go on in and I'm like, where's the little urinal trough thing for us guys? Then I kind of look at the walls and I go, and why are they pink? And that was a girl that came out of this. Oh, I'm in the girls' bathroom. Oops.
They actually had girls and...
Yeah, they had girls and guys. I just was too drunk to pay attention.
My favorite, speaking of the bathrooms, obviously being at... Okay, dude, you're at a craft beer festival, so you know there's going to be a lot of people that have to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And Kevin and I are kind of walking over to kind of like look at something. Kevin's like, oh, I'm going to go run and use the bathroom quick. And he just kind of runs up there and hops in, and then he comes right out. And I was like, oh, that's cool. As he's standing there, I'm looking, I'm like, what's that huge line for? There's a line of about a couple hundred people waiting to get into the bathrooms, and Kevin just ran up into the...
Actually, my new favorite now ongoing joke that we have with Kevin.
Yeah.
Needing a Sherpa and
yeah.
In Ohio, and that's all the hints that we're going to give you listeners for what it might be.
Yeah, it's just, it's a really big joke. So, anyway...
Let's stop dicking around. Let's get into off the shelf.
Wow. Actually, no, my favorite from yesterday was it starts with the D and it ends with ick. But, all right. Matthew, would you like to kick us off since you haven't been around this weekend?
That could happen.
Or since you haven't been around a few weekends?
Yeah, I could do that.
All right.
So, the book that I have this week is The Squitter. And I picked it mostly because... my stock was really light this week.
Is it an underwater adventure?
No, not quite, although there's squid monster aliens in it. You know, as all dark forces need to have tentacles. And also the title kind of drew me in. And then finding out more about it, Ben Templesmith pretty much did everything on it. He's writer, director, artist, letterer, and whatever else he can think of. His own words, because I'm sure he wrote that. In the cover page. The Squitter takes place in a post-apocalyptic world where these squid aliens, I can only imagine, maybe they're from outer space, maybe they're from a different dimension, but they have taken over the Earth, and they are very much in control, and humans are sacrificing themselves to these squids. Apparently humanity did try to fight back, and they created some guys that essentially were built for war, and the Squitter here is one of them. During the opening sequences, this book is kind of slow, but it does establish a lot of the world without making it, like, punch you in the face blatant as to what's happening. But he's getting...
I always hate that. I know. When it's like...
But he gets shot a couple times, and he goes, oh, well, nanites protect me from most conventional bullets. I guess there's a couple perks for being built for war. And that's all you kind of get about his backstory and that he was built for war. I mean, you get the idea that he was a soldier, but they don't go into a whole lot of detail as to how they built him and, the why was to fight the squidders when they first showed up. So you kind of piece it together with, Ben gives you enough information to make sense of the world, but not so much that I feel like he's hitting you over the head with anything.
The artwork in that book is pretty damn outstanding.
I do like it quite a bit, and especially with the, he does a lot of, with guns, you know, blam, 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 click.
And it's like a hand lettered sound effect,
mm-hmm.
which makes for a really nice,
mm-hmm. it's
nice touch, I guess.
Yeah, and it's by it's just sound effects done well. I think.
Yeah.
Even so much, there's a creak at the door, and it's creak. There's like five E's to it. So
the other thing, just peeking through this though, is what I like is the cover, when you open it up and compare it to what's going on the inside, the colors that he uses on the inside, he did a nice job on colors, because mm-hmm. what I liked is that there's a lot of pages that have that kind of muted blue. There's a lot of them that have that fiery red.
The fiery red is great because there's a lot of shadow in it and darkness, so you kind of get the idea of fire and smoke,
mm-hmm.
Which I thought was really nice.
When I was reading this, I felt it start off a little bit slow, but then it built up towards the end, that it made me really intrigued of, like, what the fuck are these flying squid things? And really, like, are we going to be able to win this war, or is it not even about that anymore? Well, it's just living in this world.
I thought one of the nice parts was, because you get most of this backstory through the squidder's thought bubbles, right? As he's kind of narrating what's happening. He's talking to this, you know, boss guy, this criminal, because, you know, in the future, you know, any big shot who thinks he's better than everyone else will just take over. And so he's saying, you fought during the rebellion. And the Squidder's thought bubbles were talking about the fact that, when did it become a rebellion? We were fighting for our own survival against genocidal squids. And that's not a rebellion. That's, you know, that's a legitimate...
Yeah.
You know, war. But now that the squids are in power, how is history rewritten so quickly to say that, oh, well, it was always supposed to be this way. The squids are our masters now. You know, we rebelled against them. So, I just thought there was some nice thoughts in it. So far, it's a good story. The squidder's got to do something that he hates, which is go save one of the priestesses of the squids. But I'll see where that goes. So
I like the fact that there's a touch of social commentary without jamming ideals down your throat.
Certainly.
You know, because that's the one thing that politics being, you know, a part of everyday life,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to have a comic that doesn't have some sort of touch of politics in it.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't like is when my comic books get so overly engrossed with politics that it's like, oh, I guess I'll put down my other propaganda piece and go read something else. You know, that's where I'm not a fan. So that makes it cool.
So IDW put this book out. It's your standard, you know, $3.99 book, but I think you get a lot to it. It's so far shaping up to be a good story, and I hope to read some more.
Cool. Tony, what'd you do?
Well, what I did was slept and ate some this week. Drink
a lot of craft beer.
Yeah. Also read some comic books. One of the ones that I picked up was The Devilers by Josh Hale Fialkoff, and illustrations by Matt Triano. And this was a book that I was looking forward to a while ago when we kind of previewed it or mentioned it of it coming out. Mainly because of the frog flipping off the priest, which is hands down probably the most funniest thing I've ever seen, this demon frog. But that's towards the end. and it's going to be a little word jumbled here right now because it's, I'm not trying to say that I don't like this book. I mean, I love this book, so I'm talking about it. But I feel that there's a certain vein of comic books now running the gamut of now devil, demon, possession coming out, where it used to be all zombies and Walking Dead. Yeah,
things tend to come in waves, though.
Yeah, now I feel like there's a lot more of these devil books coming out that...
Maybe it's a sign of the end times.
Could be. It could be.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know what you're getting at, because, I mean, you've got Outcast, you know, came out a few weeks ago with Kirkman. You've got this going on. I'm trying to think. There are a number of different other ones, though, that are definitely dealing with...
The satanic.
Demonic possession. Thomas Alsop has a little bit of, you know, supernatural type.
Mm-hmm. So, it's, you know... So that's all I'm going to say about that. However, this book, I truly enjoyed with it. Starts off with this priest who kind of is explaining some of these possessions and everything before and debunking them as back in, you know, the Puritan age of this person did this, they thought she was possessed. Well, it's really just a brain swelling. Or this happened here and found out he was just a con man and a magician, so it made it look like the illusion was them worship or bringing up a devil. And you kind of get into, and that's within the first page. I'm like, well, if this is a priest, and this seems like it's the main character, why doesn't he believe in this shit? Like, really, you should. And he's pretty much altogether getting interviewed by this atheist of telling him, well, you shouldn't believe in this stuff. It's not true. I don't believe in any of this. Until you get to the point of this, his big story of, well, I heard you have a better story. When he was younger... When he got in a car accident and he saw a demon, and the demon came over and touched him, and his bones were all broken, but then he was healed. So now you're kind of in a mind fuck of what is this world? Oh, by the way, breaking news, the Vatican is on fire and it's being destroyed. I don't want to go word for word everything that happens within this book, but it then turns into kind of a team up book. You get this other priest who comes to recruit, was it Male? I forget his name. And he also has all these other people from around the world who are also kind of...
The opening cover, I see a whole bunch of people, and they've got, like, lit up superhero emblems, if you will, on their chest, but they're just world religions. You've got the Star of David, you got the Taoist Yin-Yang, you got the Om, sign for, you know, Hinduism, there's a cross, so...
Yeah, and... Ultimately, you have this person who doesn't believe, who thinks this is all parlor tricks, too, until this giant demon bear also teleports them to the Vatican. And what you find out is, a long, long time ago, they made a deal with the devil.
Each of these people did?
No, the church.
Okay.
And now the devil's kind of coming back on his word of what's going to be happening. There's a lot of mystery surrounding this book, just like... The Squitter, you know, you get a glimpse of some of these people and a little bit of their past and what might be happening now, but really this whole world is open up to demons, possession, and now the gates of hell are open, and is there some good demons? Is there some bad demons? What the fuck was with that dude's past and why it healed him? It just was... And to speak a bit of the art, it's like what most devil books would be, very dark. I mean, there's fire going all around and brimstone. And like I said, my favorite, I want to buy this right here, this frog flipping off the priest. Like
the giant tree frog.
It's just hilarious. Definitely a book, though, to pick up. Like I said, in the vein of everything else that we've talked about, it's a good one.
Yeah. That.
Well, and definitely for more mature audiences, too. As I was flipping through here, do I want to try to read this one this week or not, and there was like a page where somebody's like chest opened up and started.
Yeah, and the demons.
Demon, yeah.
Well, that was also a cool thing too of that they did explain. You can't see the demons. Humans can't see the demons, so they don't know what's going on except for these special priests, rabbis, and all these things that have this their powers. So it's a supernatural superhero book.
Now I don't know if you guys saw it, but. We had a review posted on the website earlier this week from Josh Gillum, and he talked about this book, and he raved about it. He thought it was great. The one thing that intrigued me, because for whatever reason, I didn't see this when I went to the shop this week. Now, I was literally running in and running out. I just didn't have time. But what got me most curious was Josh kind of talked about how, you know, the creators on this book, Fialkoff and Triano, are kind of creating their, what in his words, they're creating their own new mythology. And what he liked were some of these demons, just the weird concoction of how these demons were drawn and shown, because
yeah, they're not just horned, you know, tail, like spiked tail type.
He mentioned demon. One that kind of looks like it's like a hippopotamus head on a spider body.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? I'm like, yeah, so that I think is probably what's got me the most curious to pick that one up.
Well, yeah, definitely good book. So The Devilers, number one. Derek, what do you got?
Topless Stripper Ninjas.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah, I like how Matt's head just went, what? yeah, Topless Stripper Ninjas. Burn the Orphanage, Reign of Terror, number 3 of 5, from our good friends Cena Grace and Daniel Friedman. The book is from Image Comics. We've talked about this series plenty of times, but for new listeners, because, you know, I would like to think that, you know, this is every episode we gain more new people. This book is now the second arc in the story, where you Burn the Orphanage was the first small series. Now we've got Reign of Terror in here. Now, Cena Grace is co-writing and drawing this book. Daniel Friedman is co-writing. Renee Keyes did colors on here. Russ Wooten did letters. And this book centers around a character by the name of Rock, who is very much Streets of Rage, Fist of Fury, old school video game stereotype, you know, badass guy. And this is, now, before he went and fought alien races and weird things that kind of looked weird, like your creepy demon people from your last comic there, Tony. But when he comes back, it's kind of futuristic. ManCorp has taken over. Now, in the last series, Rock killed this guy whose last name is Man, M-A-N-N, and now his son has taken over. So it's like, you know, younger, smaller man. but anyway, the son is now on a mission to find Rock and kill him because he killed his father. And, you know, they have robots running all over town that are, like, there's mandated curfews and, you know, all these other, you'll be terminated, and, you know, it's fun stuff in here. But if you remember,
it's random fun.
That's the thing that I like about what Grace and Friedman do. I mean, it's goofy, and that's what makes this book work. Now, here's the thing. And one of the main reasons I wanted to bring it up, if I was to walk in to a shop and I saw an issue 3 of 5 and I hadn't read 1 and 2, I wouldn't even think twice about doing it. About buying it. This one, you really should buy. It's good enough to where you can actually pick up this book, middle of a story arc, middle of a second volume, and you can just have fun with it. It's the best thing on this one is that they have to go back into the stripper place with the topless stripper ninjas. Mm-hmm. That they've first visited in the first series.
Ooh, perky.
And, you know, it's just fun because Cena does a great job when they're fighting. There's, and I don't mean to be offensive, but it is kind of funny seeing boobs flop around while chicks are fighting. It just...
It's way the way physics would work.
Yeah. And it's definitely a little uncomfortable sometimes, too, in that.
So are they in Manhattan?
Ooh, no, they're not.
And is there a bard in the corner playing a mandolin?
I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if there is now.
this book is definitely titillating.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to be a boob, Tony. but, like, I guess what I wanted to say.
So this was the breast book that you had on your pole.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, it's, oh, boy, I don't even know where to... So many memories. But what I guess what makes this book work is the combination of action, adventure, futuristic settings that are all based in kind of old school video game ideas. But what I love most about this book, honestly, is the heart that the characters convey. Friedman and Grace have managed to give a level of reality to a very unrealistic world by being able to show true human emotion that, honestly, pretty much unparalleled by virtually everything else in the comic book industry right now. That's what makes this book work, is, you know, you've got Rock and his friends, you know, Lex and Bear, and hell, I mean, even the side characters, like the topless stripper ninja, it's the true emotion in there that makes this book work, and I think that's why people really need to give this one a shot. The art's just fun and fantastic. I mean, everybody knows that I'm a big fan of Cena Grace's art. I've got a good handful of original pieces from him now. But, yeah, go give this one a shot if you haven't picked it up. You can grab this one, and you'll get enough to enjoy and go forward. But,
and if you need the back issues, just ask the manager at the comic book store, and yeah, I'm sure they can order them for you.
Yeah, that would be... that's just terrible. All right. Well, I think we've nursed this one as long as we can.
Yeah.
That was kind of a stretch for a boob joke there.
It was a bit.
I give this one two handfuls.
All right, guys. Start minding your manners, and let's move on to something else.
Yeah. Shall we go into some news?
Yes. What do you got for some news?
Well, before we get too far into news, I do want to just reiterate that we are going to be at Grand Con.
Hells yeah.
September 19th through the 21st.
I know. Me and Matt have been planning this all summer long. Where have you been, Derek?
It's my it's my birthday weekend, so like the pokes with a stick, totally free.
Nice.
Just got to bring your own stick.
Yeah, cool. We are bringing sticks this year. Yeah, Grand Con. Go to grand-con.com and you can check them out. It's Grand Con Gaming and arts, comic show thing.
What we do, but drunkenly.
Yeah, it's going to be a big nerd fest of all sorts, too. So if you like comic books, come on out. If you like playing games, come on out. If you like both, then this is the place for you to be. So first order of news. Tony, you got anything?
Well, while I was typically watching daytime television, staying home, watched my favorite show ever, The View.
I know. I've been TiVoing it because I don't get time to watch it during the day, but I watch it in the evenings pretty religiously.
I know, and I can't believe that's where we found out one of our favorite characters is going to be transgender.
Well, not really transgendered, but...
Well, I heard Thor is going to be a woman.
Yeah, but it's going to be a different woman.
Okay, as
so,
in how?
So, Marvel had made the big announcement that the new status quo for Thor is going to be that Thor is going to be a woman. But the story is it's not going to be Thor, the son of Odin. Remember, whoever is found worthy, should he hold this hammer, has the power of Thor.
Says he.
Oh.
Maybe.
There's an S in parentheses before it that says he, she.
I'm pretty sure, though, on his thing it says he.
I don't know. You got it. You got it right over in the corner there.
Yeah,
what,
I do.
What does Thor's hammer say over there? Hold on. What does Mjolnir say?
I'm getting it. This is actually heavier than I thought.
That's a nice prop that I have.
Whoever holds this hammer, if he slash she be worthy, does it really shall say? Possess the power of Thor. Yes, it does, right there.
So anyways,
knock off.
That's only because I took the Sharpie and wrote slash she on it.
So yeah, so interesting turn. I didn't actually get to hear this on the news. Somebody else, a good friend of mine, had said, oh, did you hear the announcement? I was like, yeah. And they said it's supposed to be the new status quo, and I'm like, yeah, for a time being.
That's what I got from this, too, along with the other two announcements that we will briefly discuss as well. I don't see how this is going to be the status quo of this is forever. Because that's what they're saying. This isn't just a quick change. This is going to be the new Thor.
Oh, it's just the same way that Superior Spider-Man was going to be the Spider-Man forever.
Yeah,
ever, right?
And Bucky's dead, and...
And Bucky was Captain America forever, because yeah. Captain America was dead, and...
Well, speaking of Captain America, he's not coming back either.
Oh, really?
Or he's being replaced, I should say. His super serial Super Soldier Serum. Yes, okay. That's the way to speak those words correctly.
Triple S.
Yes, is fading and he's turning old, which I kind of find weird because wasn't he just frozen? I don't know how this would necessarily turn him older because he isn't 70 years old per se.
He's 95.
Yeah, but he's frozen in the ice block, so I think that just totally kept him young, not just the serum.
I don't know. Try not to think about it too much.
Well, okay. Maybe there's a half-life to the serum. Mm-hmm. It kind of breaks down, you know, it's like...
Well, let's say, look at Nick Fury. He just aged quite rapidly.
But he's been alive that long since there. I mean, Namor was back then, and he hasn't aged. Reed Richards was back around then, and...
Yeah, but
he doesn't age that much.
But Namor's not going to age that much because he uses a lot of the fish oil.
Oh, yeah.
And that really helps.
Skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got that Mediterranean skin.
But regardless, Cap was going away.
More like the Mediterranean Sea.
So Cap's going away, and he's going to be replaced by Sam Wilson.
Yep.
The Falcon.
The Falcon. Which, yeah. He should change his name to The Eagle, and he'll be Sam the Eagle. What? Mind blown.
Regardless, that news was debuted on the Colbert Report,
mm-hmm.
And so I'm knowing in my head that, you know, the three people that made up the Avengers were waiting for Iron Man's news. What channel is that going to be on?
Cap didn't make up the Avengers.
He was...
Well, after the fact, the big three were Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor.
Yes, the Avengers technically were around.
He didn't come into
in all new iterations, mm-hmm. though. He was the glue. As Agent Coulson would say, he brought them together. So I'm looking for this news of, well, who's going to replace Iron Man? What's going to be Iron Man? It was just released to the internet, like, well, and here's Tony Stark's new thing.
It was in the Wall Street Journal.
What? Really?
No, I'm just kidding. I'd be like, that would have been the appropriate place.
Either right? Or, yeah, you want to know who's replacing Tony Stark? Tony Stark. Robert Downey Jr.
I was just saying, his brother, Arno.
That's what I thought, which it could have worked, but no, he's just going to be darker and sinister, maybe even superior.
Mm.
So we're going to have superior.
Sounds like
Iron
a good
Man.
Title.
Yes. So with that in its title, that just tells me this is going to be the status quo for forever, because we saw how that last superior.
Tony, you want to bet me whether or not Tony Stark's going to be a ghost?
Fuck you.
So, yeah, Marvel is shaking things up, which, you know, fine with that, but just don't say this is the way it's going to be forever, because
there's no such thing as forever unless you're Uncle Ben.
Yeah, things change in comic books all the time. And besides, I've read 100 years into the future and 100 anniversaries, and we know that these characters come back.
Yeah.
So, interesting news, and also just interesting how those announcements were made. Which I thought was kind of neat. So
here's the last little bit of Marvel news that I ran across this week is that, you know, because actors know way more than anyone else when it comes to like the actual news and giving good quality information about.
Do you know how good actors are? The little boy that played in The Shining did not know that he was making a horror movie. In fact, that was you know, kudos to the director for actually
not scarring the kid.
Yeah,
for
not
life.
Scarring the kid for life by, you know, telling him, "Oh, we're just making this movie; it's good." And his parents kind of knew that, you know, it was going to be bad, but he really protected the kid from the horrors of the movie. So,
was that Kubrick?
Yeah, Stanley Kubrick. So,
okay, anyway,
although he did traumatize his adult actors quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah.
Okay, so Kate Mara, who is supposed to be playing the new Sue Storm, Invisible Woman. Was quoted in, like, the Latin American version of Esquire, is basically saying that there isn't going to be, well, what the director told her, and I'm reading a quote, he told us that we shouldn't do it, which is reading, you know, comics, because the plot won't be based on any history of anything already published.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Already, from what I've heard, is that both Ben and Reed get their powers separately from Sue and Johnny. What happened to them going up in space and getting cosmic rayed? Like
it's going to be the power of the U's.
It's
I was going to say, and I don't mind as long as I don't mind the interracial casting for Sue and Johnny, as long as they remain siblings, and that does appear to be the case. So that at least alleviates some of my concerns with that, because I think that one of the important things about the Fantastic Four is that idea that they're a family. Uh-huh. But yeah, it still just, it doesn't, my expectations for it are worse than, Fantastic Four movies. So,
yeah. You know, actually though, I gotta say, probably the one person that's been cast that I'm most excited to see is, it's Michael Jordan Jr.
Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
As the Human Torch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got such good charisma, I think, that he can pull off that Johnny Storm.
Yeah. That's why I said, like, you know, I kind of understand the idea that most of the comic books heroes that were created in the 60s or before were white.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's not a lot of minority representation. And if there is, you know, they tend to be characters like Luke Cage, right, who's from Harlem, and or, you know, Cyborg.
Or Captain America.
Yeah, Captain America now, yeah.
Or Nick Fury. Yeah. You can just...
So now we've got a more, you know, diverse, you know, I guess we're more sensitive to representations of race in comics, and so we're seeing more minorities come to the front. Look, Miss Marvel,
yeah,
you know, is Arabic. So, the young girl one, not, you know, Carol Danvers. So,
well, yeah, because Carol Danvers isn't Miss Marvel anymore.
That's right. She's Captain Marvel. She's Captain Marvel. She got a promotion.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of
promotions, Philip Sablik from Boom Studios went from Vice President of Publishing and Marketing to President of Publishing and Marketing.
Did somebody assassinate the president?
I don't know how that one worked. But I just want to say congratulations to him. I had the pleasure of working briefly with him when we were working out the details for the variant cover for Motor City last year. Okay. For the Fanboys versus Zombies, which we were on, and we looked awesome.
Yes. So thank you. Because you made that smart decision to put us on a cover, the studio head saw what...
I'm pretty sure that had something to do with it.
Yeah. Something. Probably all. Like, whoa! That Joelle Jones and Jamie S. Rich have a new book coming to Dark Horse called Lady Killer. Did you guys see this one?
Mm-mm.
This is... it's going to be coming out, I think, in January, if I remember correctly. And I'll kind of show you the cute little 1950s housewife thing who is...
cleaning up a bunch of blood?
Yeah, because she's also an assassin.
Nice.
Yeah. So, just wanted to drop that out there. I'll fill in more when I hear more later. Tony, what else did you have?
Well, one of the series that you've been picking up that, unfortunately, I did not... Zero from Image Comics is... looking like it's in the works for a TV show.
Yeah.
Which is, for a book kind of like that, it's a little bit easier to adapt from a superhero book, you know, having it be more or less of a espionage thriller type thing.
Yeah. The thing I thought was interesting in the article that I saw is that L. Scott, who is the creator of this book, said that the TV series is not going to be the same as the comic. No. Like, I'm assuming it's probably going to be
a different story,
like a Walking Dead type thing.
Oh, okay, so it will have some similarity. That's like almost like saying the new Fantastic Four movie is going to be nothing like the comics, and so it's not Fantastic Four with except name only. Well, that's what I'm believing.
Yeah. That's my guess based on what I read. You know, and who knows? I mean, it might have some of the same characters in it that maybe are crossing over, maybe, you know, it's kind of like an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing where it's not necessarily, you know, an Avengers movie, but you're going to see those people tie in, stuff like, I don't know, but...
Wait, did you guys ever catch up on that, because...
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah.
No, I haven't caught up yet.
Damn it!
I'm trying to catch up on comic books first, man.
All
right. That's
we'll talk about it next season when it kicks off. It's going to be awesome.
All right.
Archer and Armstrong are also in the works for a movie, which it seems like there's so many movies, TV shows pulling from the comic books medium, but This one I think would be a funny, you know, what, not rom-com, but a buddy cop drama, shooter up, but funny, not drama. Yeah, that not, vein.
And not a rom-com.
Yes, no. Well, who knows? Throw the goat in, you never know what will happen.
No, that's Quantum and Woody.
Oh, yeah, that is Quantum and Woody.
Yeah. That's like Goat and Archer. Okay.
Sure. Oh, yeah, it's, okay.
That would be a really uncomfortable rom-com with the goat.
Well, they could throw that in as an Easter egg.
Yeah. So, Tony, I have some very exciting news for you. You are going to be super excited.
Am I going to scream like a girl?
Excited? Probably. Probably, because in October, okay, you love Halloween.
Yes, I do.
We've talked about this. DC is going to have a ton of variants featuring monsters on it for Halloween.
Boo-hoo!
That's what ghosts say. I thought you were going to say something like, Tony, you're going to be a father. Or, Tony, I got some really exciting news.
Aren't they doing the selfies then?
They are doing the selfies, but I only know selfies.
Well, is that a whole different month? Like,
yes.
Why?
September is selfie month.
I mean, we have said, okay, you can't judge a book by its cover. But then, why are they making all these covers for people to judge? Like, they're seriously like, oh, look at me.
Yeah.
No, that's what the selfies are.
What's the monsters then? Scare you away? I mean, I don't know. It's cool and all for the art's sake, and sometimes some of these you wouldn't mind getting prints of, but I don't know why variant covers are so mainstream right now, because really it's what's inside the book that counts, which I learned a long time ago, and
that's what you keep telling yourself.
Yeah.
I will say that the one cover I saw from Becky Cloonan for Detective Comics number 35 looked badass. I mean, so the art does look fantastic, but, you know.
I guess my question is, though, is if you've got these much better ideas, then why make them variant covers? Just make them the covers. Say, this month, all of our covers are going to have monsters on them, and those are just the covers.
And that's your option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I get, you know, if it's going to make an extra buck, then they're going to try to sell it so that people buy every single 50-state flag, which the only thing that's different is the flag on the cover that I still think was the dumbest variant cover.
Yeah, plus Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C.
Ah, 52. The new 52.
Yeah.
Are they still new? Are they still 52-ing it up?
Do I have a DC book in my stack this week? Okay.
I think they are still new 52.
Yeah.
Well,
all new 52 now.
Yeah. Last bit of news that I have revolves around Gotham. So, going from Batman to Gotham. And this TV show, I'm actually getting excited for more and more that I hear of how much it's more going to focus on the villains. Because Batman has an awesome rogues gallery. I mean, that's the only thing he's got going for him. I mean,
sometimes
his sidekicks don't work out, but at least his bad guys are always there for him.
Well, yeah, he's also got his inheritance because he's not getting anything else from his parents.
Hey, you know, I found a fun trivia fact. I didn't realize that Harley Quinn was originally in the Batman animated series show. She was a villain created for that show that was only supposed to be in one episode. But then she became, like, a fan favorite for the show, so they kept her coming back in the cartoon show, and then they put her into the comic books.
Yes.
So, I did not know that. And now our listeners who didn't know that, they now know that.
Yep. And what they may not know, but may soon know after I say it, is the Joker is going to be in the TV show. In fact, he's going to be in every episode. But you may not know it's him, and it may not be him. Early speculation was talking
about
the
joke.
I get it.
The pilot has a man that's up on stage at a comedy club, and people have speculated that was going to be the Joker, because from, I believe what the scene is, the place gets killed, the people get killed in there except for him, and that may be that turning point for him. But what the creators of the show have said is that in each episode, there's going to be someone that could potentially be the Joker. whether it be someone seeing this happen to them, or maybe someone that has their cheeks accidentally sliced off and
somebody smiling.
Away. Yeah, just yeah, or someone's just smiling in the back. Someone playing cards and cheating with the Joker card. Like who knows how they're gonna set it up?
That'll be fun, creative Easter eggs.
Yeah, and I find that to be an intriguing way of when they do reveal the Joker. You still don't know which one it could be, because once the Joker has that paint on, that is who he is, yeah. And that previous life doesn't matter. So I thought that's a really cool extra thing to get you in the mindset of Gotham and watching each episode just for that one thing as well. And that's all the news I have.
Cool. All right, well, that does it for news. Get your tickets now for Grand Con, you jerks. I'm talking to you, Matt.
Oh,
you got to buy yours this year.
Okay, no problem.
All right, something that we haven't done in a while, I forget what we called it. Was it around the net or interwebs or whatever?
Interwebs?
Something.
You created this, like, well, granted, yeah, it's been a couple years ago, but still.
It's been a little while. But there's something that I definitely want listeners to know about, because I, for one, am now a registered member, and it's called Loot Crate. LootCrate.com is a website where you can go and you can join up, and how it works is you sign up, and it's, I think, $13.97 plus shipping and handling, so less than $20, and you get a box sent to your house that has $40 worth of swag, geeky, nerdy items, t-shirts, comic books, but it's a mystery. Some months have themes, and then also, when you get these things, you could get the monthly Mega Crate, which is a $750 value as well. Now, how Loot Crate works, and this is kind of where I've heard about this, was from when we've talked about all these number one issues selling out and through solicitations and everything. Well, Loot Crate is one of these websites that actually buys a ton of those things to then include it into their crates. So, like I said, comic books are some of the things in here. Gadgets, sometimes game systems. There's a lot of different things that, and you don't have, you can, once you sign up, you don't need to sign up for the next month, but you'll just continually be enrolled. And getting fun, geeky stuff every month is kind of a cool little Christmas in July, August, September, and whatever month you're in.
So, Tony, did you just do a 1 month and you'll see if you want to continue, or did you go 3 months, or did you go for 6 months?
3 months.
3 months?
Because I know I'll probably would have just did a year, but I think that, yeah, I think it's going to be worth it in the end. Because you know me, I buy a ton of shit all the time.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. So this hopefully will save me some money and give me a little bit more mystery coming to my door.
You also feel like somebody loves you because they sent you a present.
Yes.
Secret, it was you.
So check out lootcrate.com, sign up, and enjoy in the free swag that, well.
Matt, you killed me with that one.
I can't wait till I get my present so I can be happy.
I find myself no friends. I can't remember the comedian that did that. I love that joke.
All right,
well, did we have any... Did we have a best on tap this week? We didn't really talk about it.
Yeah, we didn't, but I was going to ask you what you thought of Translucid.
Oh, the cover for Translucid?
Yeah, number four?
Yeah.
I like that, so I figured that could be...
Yeah. Is that a Jeff Stokely cover again?
Yes.
Yeah, it's...
And there wasn't any variants, so it's actually the only cover, at least that I have saw.
Yeah. Jeff's a hell of an artist anyway, but yeah, the colors on this one really did pop. Really kind of brought the whole book to life. But yeah, so best on tap. And you know what else looks cool besides that cover?
What?
Drunk on Comics t-shirts.
Oh, yes, they do.
You know where you can get them?
Where?
DawApparel.com. It's DAW apparel, because I can't spell apparel, .com. Oh, go on there. When you order your shirts, put in the code DOC20. You'll save 20% off your order.
All right. If Matt would put down my books, we can we get into Indie Turnpike.
Matthew? Do we have?
Hmm.
Hi, Matt. Just don't do it.
Yeah, I see you biting your tongue. It's going to bleed if you keep biting it that hard. So either say something or make your damn noises.
Indy Turnpike this week is Dark Engine number one.
She's got an engine in it. It's going to be revving up. It's dark matter.
And it's a dark engine, so they'll have to turn on the headlights.
Story by Ryan Burton, art by John Bivens. And we'll just kind of go with the reason why I love this was the story, but we can first delve into the art, which was spectacular throughout the entire book.
It'll leave some disturbing images, though, in your mind.
The artwork for me is what actually made this book. You know, and actually kind of speaking of Jeff Stokely, when I was looking through this, there's a little bit of his style in this book. Not much, but for whatever reason, when I was reading it, I'm like, who's this kind of remind me of? And it's just, there's a hint there, and I can't put my finger on anything more than that.
And this is definitely a book that we cannot show Kevin, especially from the dark engine, whatever it is in her stomach, which is then branching out and enveloping her in the cocoon.
Well, Tony, why don't you kind of give a little synopsis here of at least what's going on for our listeners at home before we get too far into just the art, because it's not going to make a whole lot of sense explaining some of the photos, I don't think.
Okay, so pretty much we have this world, which consists of demons and dragons and monsters pretty much ruling the world. And that's the only kind of glimpse that you get, except for them knowing that she is coming. And who is she? You then kind of get dropped back into prehistoric time, and this woman emerges from a Tyrannosaurus Rex's stomach. And you're thinking, that's weird, but let's keep reading and seeing how this goes. And she's fucking badass. She's taking teeth from dinosaurs, making swords and, like, Wolverine-type claws, and pretty much has a sweet-ass fucking, what are they called? Velociraptor helmet, and she's being badass. And you're kind of wondering, well, what happened to these monsters and everything in this future post-apocalyptic world, and why are we way back now? In which then you find out who she is and what she is. She's pretty much a trained killer. Anything that stands in her way will be eliminated, will be dead. But she's also imbued by these mages with the Dark Engine, which is something sinister, something they don't know. She was supposed to be sent back in time to right before these demons and whatever took over. Hopefully she was going to destroy them all and the future would be perfect. Well,
she's the cause of them, isn't she?
You don't even know that yet. Okay. You just know that she was lost in time and she got sent back a little way too far. The thing that intrigued me the most of this was when they're explaining, you know, who she is and where she's from and how she annihilates everything. I'm like, oh, that's kind of, you know, cool nod to history of sending her back towards the dinosaurs. And how did the dinosaurs die? Oh, this chick came back in time and pretty much destroyed them.
It's interesting that it's a woman who's the slayer of all things, because usually women are depicted as the life bringers. Yeah. And it's manslayers who tend to kill everything. Wow. I'm sorry, I stretched on that one, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you need a little support, you know, next time around, maybe we can, kind of help strap you.
What are you talking about, bra?
Thank you.
So anyways, some disturbing images towards the end there. She apparently,
well, when this thing works, which I don't quite know how it works, but it definitely comes out of all of her orifices and cocoons her within this, you know, bio type time traveling mechanism. You then next see the pyramids, and they're in Egypt, and they're down by a river, and there's a hippo, and that hippo just fucking explodes.
And there's a van
down by it. And you have these, you know, two Egyptians that are saying, kneel, you know, protect your heart from Amut, who I believe is the Egyptian hippo god. So that's who they believe this woman now is. Don't know where the story's going to go from that, but I just thought that some of these cool small things of what they're trying to intertwine with this total made-up world in the future with mages and everything, and kind of having a basis in our history was really, really interesting and different.
My one question, when she keeps hopping through time, is it just really bad coincidence, or is it that every time she jumps forward that she's going to have to explode out from an animal?
I don't know, but it's kind of graphically cool, though, seeing the bleh.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of like, you know, when Arnold Schwarzenegger went through time, he always was in that little round bubble that left, like, the little crater.
And naked, yeah.
And he always had to be naked. Her thing is that she makes animals explode as she busts out of their innards.
You know what? I could say almost that it's probably partly a analogy of rebirth, maybe, and coming from the stomach and her being a woman. Because as they showed, this dark engine looked like this little alien thing within her stomach. And what that even means even more, I'm intrigued to find out the story of what that is.
Does it tie back into Prometheus?
If it, I hope not.
I will say that the art in this book, though, once again, both the books, honestly, that Tony, that you talked about this week had probably some of the best art out of any of the books that were out this week, you know, in general. So I enjoyed it. You know, at least I don't know where I sit yet on the story, but I like it enough just on the story alone that I'm going to give it another shot. But the art alone will keep me coming back. There was one page in particular I wanted to jump back to, and it's technically, I guess it's page 3. If you count the little just first page, it just has like a little insignia thing on it. But the panel in the upper right was very, very cool because you see this one demon walking back in, and it's dark in there, but there's a fire in the middle, and I like the fact that they really didn't use any color where the fire was to show light, that you're actually getting to see black and white artwork that slowly fades into color. I haven't seen anything done like that, I don't know if ever before. I just thought it was genius work on their part, so I just had to give that a shout.
All right, Derek, do you got a booze in the book?
I do have booze in a book.
Good, because I didn't have one, so I'm glad you did.
Well, yeah, no, but I thought we had this covered. Maybe not.
No, maybe not.
Well, Matt and I had it covered. We knew what was going on.
Heck yeah. Yeah. Drink some booze.
Yeah.
Talk about some books.
I've got Life with Archie, number 36, and it's the Fiona Staples variant, which this one may have actually gotten my vote for cover of the week if I wasn't using this for booze in a book.
So who turns into a zombie in this one?
Nobody. But before we go too far,
do they get into the Sabrina story arc?
No. This is not Afterlife.
But I heard he's dead.
He is.
What?
Yeah, so, spoiler. Life with Archie, number 36. Archie gets killed in this. And so, I am mixing this with a concoction, which there's a couple different variations. You can use 151, you can use Everclear, you can use, you know, very high-proof vodka, whatever you can get your hands on. You mix it with that, and typically it's 151, Gatorade, and Red Bull. And so the idea is that you get really drunk, you get energy, and you rehydrate all at the same time. And the reason I'm pairing those is that that's writer Tucker Max came up with this years ago, and he calls it Death Mix. So I figure if you drink enough of that, you can be like Archie, and you can be not living too. So now, I will say, though, Death Mix is really delicious. While this story isn't really delicious, it's definitely worth a read. So go give them both a shot. And then, speaking of shots, when you're done with that, you should pick up your flask at inkwhiskey.com.
Heck yeah, those flasks are awesome.
Yeah, there might be a new one in the works, a new title coming out.
Ooh.
Can't say anything, but it's a good one. Tony and I talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Aww.
Well, off-air. Off-air we'll talk about
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah. That was pretty much it, other than the last call for me, unless you guys had anything else.
Do you have any seasonal brews, Matt?
What? Well, the only thing that really came off the shelf for me this week was the Original Sins number 6.
Okay.
And I do...
How's Marvel doing in that?
You know, as far as a crossover goes, I think that this crossover has been pretty neat, mostly because the theme of Original Sins allows each of the books to still be their own thing without having a big, all the characters have to show up in the same place at the same time type feel to it, which is really making the Original Sins book itself be a nice standalone story. In issue 5, we found out what Nick Fury's been doing secretly. Apparently the guy never slept, or that killing aliens in outer space is a weekend job, and his 9-to-5er was running S.H.I.E.L.D. But he's been the man on the wall, and what he's trying to do is, since he's dying, is he's aging really quickly, he wants someone to replace him to be that unknown benefactor who essentially assassinates threats before they even show up to Earth.
Yep.
In issue 6, the Avengers, the main Avengers, find out what's happening, and of course they're pissed at Fury, so they come in like a bat out of hell, and Fury is trying to get all the secrets from the Watcher's eyes before he ends, and there's a really great picture of him with all power armored up, holding the two Watchers' eyeballs like they're a pair of testicles, and looking like he's ready to rock and roll. So,
well, some of the other titles that have involved some Original Sin, Fantastic Four, we find out the reason why Ben Grimm was never truly cured by Reed was all because of Johnny Storm's actions. Johnny came in and sat into this molecular chair by accident. He didn't mean to, but because his warm body messed up the calibrations that were set just for Ben. And this was, you know, a long time ago. I like that they've been using some previous, you know, artwork to kind of just explain this happened before. Now we're going to elaborate a little bit more. And so Ben is really pissed off at both, you know, Johnny and Reed. And as Johnny right now doesn't have his powers either, pretty much almost got clobbered. Deadpool still searching for his daughter. And picked up Original Sin, The Last Will and Testament of Charles Xavier. Didn't truly get to get through it all, but from what I've been hearing is it's pretty much going to be, you know, telling of what Charles wanted them to be doing.
There's a small sequence in here, and it's been driving me nuts all week. In that Uncanny X-Men number 23, where you see Dazzler looking in the mirror, and, you know, she's kind of seeing the different versions of herself, the Dazzler, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., and the older version, and it is very, very, very reminiscent of an old Uncanny X-Men book from, you know, back around the 200s, okay. If I'm remembering correctly. And I can't figure out which issue it is, but I want to find out because I don't know if this is paying direct homage or if it's just something I'm remembering.
Is Dazzler there still Mystique or?
No, this is real Dazzler.
Oh, it's real Dazzler.
Mystique Dazzler is on S.H.I.E.L.D. right now, I believe.
Okay. So.
I
was going to say, other Original Sin tie-ins, Thor and Loki are looking for their sister, who we all know is Angela, but they found the mythical lost 10th realm. And they've entered that space. So they're really trying to tie in the
Angel. So that's what I was thinking. Angel. Maybe Angela turns into Thor.
No, because I think she's
still going to be Angela.
Yeah, I saw a big spread of the new Avenger characters, and she's on there. So.
Oh, yeah, she is. So she's not going
to
be the new.
But yeah, so they're really trying to make her. She was always part of the Marvel Universe type deal.
Mm-hmm.
Really
looking forward to the Guardians when they finally get to Richard Rider.
Yep, that was really good. And then, from what I hear, the Hulk versus Iron Man one, that Iron Man had something to do with the Hulk's explosion to cause him to turn into the Hulk. So,
yep, and in other news, I have been trying to read some Futures End so that we can throw in another event that's going on in the DC world. We just aren't as caught up on that as we are Original Sin, since these have been in a lot of our main titles that we've picked up. So that's kind of your... your seasonal brews for this time. Until next time, seasonal brews. Yeah. Didn't know how to end that segment. Yeah. What do you got for last call, Derek?
Just move along now, please. Can we just keep going?
last call? Is that where we're at?
Yep.
Okay. Not a ton, but I had a couple in here. The last broadcast for last call. The last fall for last call.
What were those titles? I haven't... Didn't see those.
Well, RK is putting out the last broadcast, IDW. Last fall is issue 1 of 5. It just came out. On there. Magneto is fucking cool. And did this cover remind you at all of Star Wars Episode 2?
Yeah. I see it now.
You know, where they're in the arena with the little weird people. But and then The Wicked and the Divine. I was surprised how fast issue 2 came out.
Did you not time travel and get the 100th anniversary X-Men?
No.
Oh, well, once again, it's so awesome to be reading about stuff that hasn't ever happened.
Wait, I take it back, I did.
Oh, yeah, you just got the different
cover. Is Wolverine alive?
He's on the cover.
Oh, no! He's not going to stay dead?
No, he's alive in the future, and he's got one eye, and he looks like a pirate. So, yeah, I'm just, whatever.
But besides that, though, I don't know. Like I said, I've been liking these what-if randomness of the books, so, yeah, it is. But that's all I got for last call as well. Matt, did you pick up anything? Oh, wait, no, you didn't.
I just, like I said, Original Sins. I got God is Dead here, number 16.
Okay. So that's all the books for this week, so any parting words?
Man boobs?
At least done something like Mannery's glands, but
yeah,
that's a bit of slant.
I just figured I'd work everything in together that we talked about earlier and just, yeah, moobs. All right, guys.
Man, that was bad.
Keep reading your comics, and we'll be back next week to talk to you about them again then. Can't even talk. Nipples.